for this opportunity to gather together. Lord, we know that you are the one. You're the one that's drawn us to yourself. You're the one that's awakened our hearts to know you, to experience you, to see you in all your glory and your splendor. But sometimes, Lord, life weights us down. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes circumstances and situations dull us from being able to see you. And Lord, as this song says, we pray today that you would open the eyes of our hearts. Not our natural eyes, Lord, but our spiritual eyes, that we might be able to see what is not seen. And let the things that are seen, Lord, grow strangely dim. Help us, Lord, to focus on what really matters today, and that's you. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice, Lord, during worship, during the word, during sharing. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to be all that you have desired us to be this morning and in the coming days. So we surrender and we yield to the will of God for this service. We surrender and we yield to your purposes and your plans and your desires. And we thank you, Lord, that it's you, Lord, that we gather for. And because of that, Lord, you are filling our hearts, Lord, afresh and anew, Lord, with your word and your presence. Thank you, Jesus.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the air. Thank you, Tim. You like to be center, huh? Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Every time we sing that, it's like it really speaks to me, you know, about how we need to constantly have that in our heart, that prayer, because it's so easy to focus on this life, focus on the circumstances, the situations, the crises. 2 days more. So we're still in John chapter 11. Might be here a while. It's a lot. Today we're going to talk about the whole concept of the timing of God and how his timing isn't always our timing. Hello? So let's go ahead and start. We'll start at verse 1 again. And you go ahead and read that, babe.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill.
Go ahead and stop there for a second. So we covered all of this last week. If you want to listen to the audio, if you weren't here. Cover the idea of Bethany, where it's come from, and where Martha and Mary first came into Jesus' life, and that Jesus used to stay at their home when he was in Bethany. And Bethany was a couple miles out of Jerusalem, so we kind of had a discussion about that, went over that last week. So today, we're going to now kind of continue the story at verse 4.
But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was.
We can go ahead and stop there for a moment. So when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. And you could say, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So how many know the story?
How many have read the end?
Most people know this story. Does Lazarus, from our point of view, die?
Yeah.
Yeah, to the place where his sisters think that he's going to stink. But Jesus has another view of death. Mm-hmm. To Jesus, understanding death is not what we think it is. Death is a what's the word I want to use? It's almost like an illusion to us, because when someone passes this life, we have the idea that they're gone, they're no longer here. It's finale, and. But Jesus sees it a different way. Mm-hmm. And that's why later on in this chapter, he actually says, they will never die. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a bold statement for those of us who have lost loved ones. You know, it's hard for us to comprehend, but it's something we have to see not with our natural eyes. It's something we have to think about not with our natural mind. It's something that is a supernatural truth. A reality that is those things that are not seen that are more real than the things that are seen. And I like to say this, that if you've lost a loved one, they're now more alive than they ever have been. They're now living more than they ever have. But we don't see that. We see them gone. We go to visit the place where we've memorialized their death with a stone, and we'll put flowers there to remember them the best we can in this state. But on the other side, they're living now more than they ever have. And that's what our blessed hope is that we're going to live someday more than we ever have lived here. Amen, Jesse?
Amen.
No physical ailments, no diseases, no autoimmune systems that are corrupted. Amen. That was directed right towards Jesse because of his. So, it is for the glory of God, though, that this is taking place. That it was to reveal the glory that was in the Son. It was to reveal not just that Jesus could command Lazarus, you know, to come forth as he does in the future, but that the identity of the Son would be revealed. It's not just that Jesus would prove another miracle again, but that Jesus would show that his source was more than just a prophet or more than just another teacher, that his source was directly from the Father. So this again was one of those situations that was a setup. And everybody was basically not privy to it, except Jesus and the Father. And I'm sure probably some angels were probably in on it and stuff, you know, who knows. But the point being is that this was not just a normal situation that was coming up and Jesus was going to deal with it. This was preordained and it was for the glory of God. Just like the boy, the young man, you know, when he was born as a baby, he was born blind, and he was born blind so that he could show the works of God. You know, all those years that he was blind, it was a temporal thing because it was always intended for him to see. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So this is John saying he loved these people a lot. You know, and he had just heard news. What did it say? So the sisters said to him, they sent a convoy, an envoy to him. Yeah. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, it's not to death. So John's saying he loved them a lot. Mm-hmm. When we hear somebody has a need most of the time and we love them a lot, are we not dropping everything that we have and just running and meeting that need? Most of the time we are, aren't we? And Jesus looks to be doing the opposite. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer or 2 days more in the place where he was. Have any of you felt like God is waiting 2 days longer for something that you need?
2 days too long.
2 days too long. 2 days, you know, that seemed like an eternity. Mm-hmm. When you knew he was the answer, mm-hmm. and you knew he could bring the answer, and you knew that he was going to take care of the problem, and if he would show up on the scene. And some of us live in certain type of situations that even, I say 2 days here, it could be the rest of our life and we're waiting for that answer. Mm-hmm. So I want us to go to a couple of verses and think about some things as we move on here. So let's go and look at Isaiah 55, 8 and 9.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts.
So this is the prophet Isaiah, and he's communicating as a prophet from the heart of God. And he's saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Unless we're operating in the mind of Christ, if we're operating in the natural mind, our thoughts are not going to align with God's thoughts. And our ways are not going to align with his ways.
Right.
And he communicates one more level here. As the heavens are even higher than the earth. How many know that's the truth? Mm-hmm. You know, the heavens are way, way up there. And I believe this is probably the heavens that are I don't know, probably the heavens that they were used to, the stars and stuff like that. But as they are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts. And so there's this idea here that Isaiah is trying to communicate to Israel, the people, that God's plans and God's thoughts and God's even desires and ways don't necessarily align with ours. And I mean, that's so obvious because, you know, they never understood. Most people never understood. I think very few, probably maybe none. Maybe Mary, the mother, had an idea what was going to happen because of the prophecy that she prophesies about him. But that there is a disconnect, for whatever reason, from our natural mind to the mind and thoughts of God 99% of the time. Where we think something should happen a certain way, right. God says, no, that's not the best way, you know. That's why sometimes when we ask for an answer to prayer, we want it like right now. God's saying, well, that's not the best. Because number one, you're not going to learn what you need to learn in this, or you're not going to grow in the depth that you need to grow, or this person that I'm working in over here that you're asking for this solution to come right now, all the ones around them may not see what they need to see. Because had he left and went back and healed the illness, well, it'd have been great, but it'd been another little illness that Jesus healed, right? We wouldn't have the Jesus then saying that he was the resurrection and the life. That scripture that we have, that we can hold on to, that he is resurrection. That he doesn't just give us resurrection. He is resurrection because him and the Spirit are one. And it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, quickens our mortal body. That same resurrection power dwells in us. But we wouldn't have had that truth had he responded in a natural mind.
Any quicker than he did,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You have anything to add?
Well, it just reminds me about when our Stephen was born, and I would that he not be born that way. I would that he not have cerebral palsy and go through all of the stuff that he went through at this hospital and Children's Hospital and all of that stuff. And because he was born that way, I would rather it have been, heal him now, God, you know, take care of. But it was months and months later that his healing came. But so many, and looking back on it, so many people have come to the Lord, been healed by the Lord, truly been touched by the Lord because of his story, because of the testimony, what God did in his life. They wouldn't even have been there had that not happened the way that God planned it and the way that the timing was.
Right.
And so a lot of times hindsight is foresight, but it's so hard to go through it right now.
Right.
It's in real time. It is hard. And we can't see the glory that God will receive out of it. And we just want what we want and when we want it. And that's not always the best, because the ladies wanted their brother healed and they wanted Jesus to be there when they called for him. And they could only see it working in their time. But because we know the rest of the story, we recognize that not as much glory would have been given to Jesus had he just healed the illness versus raising Lazarus from the dead.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, again, hindsight's 20/20. You know, we can read the story and we can say, guys, come on, you know, we can look at the disciples who are like, you know, saying stupid things. And
yeah.
And we can say, you know, those guys just, they just didn't have it together like we did, but they were in the same boat. They were operating most of the time from their natural minds,
right.
And doing the very best they could to follow Christ.
Bless their pea-picking little hearts.
Exactly. Did they pick peas back then? I didn't know that. Okay. I didn't know you could pick peas. Okay, here we go. Verse 7. Go ahead.
Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again?" Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world.
So, we know that he's staying there 2 more days, right? That's
yep.
What it said. He stayed there more than. And then he says to his disciples, okay, let us go back to Judea. Let us go to Judea again. And remember, what happened in 10, they were picking up stones to stone him, you know, and he got away. And so his disciples, thinking in their natural mind again.
Because we're only in chapter 11, their thoughts, the next chapter.
Yeah, they need to read ahead. I don't know when they, if they read ahead, they know what's going on. But the point being is that they're using their natural mind saying, Rabbi, I know you're the teacher, but don't you remember that the Jews were just now seeking to stone you and you're going there again? Like, don't you think give them a little time to cool off? I mean, it's probably not the right time to
chillax.
Go back. Chillax, you know. And Jesus answers, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. And they probably looked at each other. He did it again. He's talking in riddles again.
I know, because like, that does not flow.
It's like,
how does that?
Can't
answer?
We get a break? I mean, can he just answer a question? You know, it's like, you know. But he is answering their question. What he's trying to tell them is, listen, that he is the light. And that he doesn't walk in darkness, and that he's not in any way letting the natural circumstances portray a darkness to him that he would respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if we go to another scripture here, John 8:12, and I know we've been there before, but it really is the truth. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So again, going back, he's saying this, that if anyone walks in the day, because there's 12 hours in a day, and that was their 12 hours of their Jewish time, started like mm-hmm. 6 in the morning and went to like
six at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty close to what it was. And so if anyone walks in the day, they do not stumble because he sees the light of this world. So you could say that he's talking about natural day, natural light, mm-hmm. but he's also talking about the concept of light, having illumination, not letting our thoughts be what govern us, but letting right. the light of life. And the light of life to us is the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. He's the mm-hmm. counselor. He's the one that is the Spirit of truth, will reveal and lead us into all truth. And so we don't have to walk in darkness. So if we are following Christ as we are, as mm-hmm. believers, we follow him as he's the light of the world. We have that light in us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the disciples, unfortunately, were pre-baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? Well, that means that they were operating as men who were following Christ and doing the very best they could in their own natural ability, as God had designed them to follow Christ and to follow through with their commitment to Christ. We know Peter, in his own natural ability, didn't do very good at his being tested by the enemy, did he? Had he been full of the Spirit, we know that when Peter was even facing death, he said, I'm not going to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. He was not afraid of death then. But we see Peter here, who is operating without that light fully in him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were around the light and they heard the light, it was different. You and I now have the light living in us. So that may be partly why when we see some of the things the disciples say, we go like, I don't get it, you know, because we have the light in us. That same truth that Jesus lived with and lived in and exuded, we have that in us. We're not vacant of the light, which I think is good news. All right, let's look at another scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5:7, go ahead and read it.
For we walk by faith, not by sight. Next one too.
No, we can talk about that because it's so much to talk about. For we walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? What is faith? Belief. It's trust. It's trusting in things that we don't see. When we have a confidence in God, then others who don't know the Lord can see us go through certain situations. And they say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you go through it. I don't know how you've got as much peace or even joy as you're going through this situation. I'm sure the Van Horns are probably hearing that now because they're just trusting the Lord as they're going through this very, very dark time.
Some people may not know what you're talking about.
Go ahead. And,
so for
and,
those, does any, does do you guys remember Kelly and Steve Van Horn? They went to church here. Their daughter, Kimmy, was attacked last Sunday and brutalized, terribly bad, and left for dead. She was out in the elements for all night with her face down in the mud. When they found her, she was barely hanging on, and she is in a coma in intensive care. They have caught the guy that did it, but this walk by faith and not by sight is exactly, I mean, when you go through something this devastating, you have to do that. You have to walk by faith, not by sight, because seeing what you see, it looks devastating. Knowing what you even know looks devastating. And that's why we have to look to God. We have to look to Him and not get caught up on what this human eye sees or what this human brain knows. And that's the struggle that they're dealing with right now as they sit beside her bed as she's in a coma, you know, wondering what, you know. So we need to be praying for them, obviously. But again, this is I believe God is doing this for His glory.
Right.
He will come out of this, and they will come out of this shining bright because He is God. And so please be praying for the Van Horn family.
And what the enemy has meant for evil,
God will
bring to good. But that's walking by faith, not by sight. You know, when 6 weeks, 7 weeks ago now, when we're way up in the boonies, and you're just like, oh my Lord, you could have shook your fist at God or what, but you just said, Lord, you know, you're with me, and you're going to be with me all the way through this, and you've been walking by faith, and now you're walking, you know, and so it's every day gives us an opportunity to walk by faith. It doesn't have to be a broken leg or a brutalized child. Even just going through our day with the bad things that can happen or with the circumstances or with the fellow employees who go drive us crazy, we can walk by faith and not let that be, or the employer's place be something that where they're in turmoil and we don't know why. We can walk by faith and not by sight. Vicki. The circumstances?
Yeah. What was that?
The circumstances that happened?
And how God showed me He was there every step of the way.
Right.
A retired doctor, a nurse, two military men who know everything I need and can carry me down. And he turned around and he looked at me and he said, most people do not look for those little miracles. They just see what they see. And it was just like, you know, it was awesome to hear somebody else actually say that you have to look.
Right. Walking by faith.
Yes, walking by faith. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I believe, again, if we can take the time and if we can get out of the fog of the pain that we're in, we can see God's working miracle power all around us. And we'll acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. But most of us, unfortunately, look at the circumstance and say, woe is me, and can't be thankful in the situation by seeing what the Lord has done.
Well, it really is going against human nature because you're in this vortex of things happening around you. And as things are happening, you're seeing all of the trees, so you can't really tell that there's a forest there, right?
Right.
You can't see the forest for the trees. But if you can stop and say, okay, God, what are you seeing in this? What is your glory in this? I really believe that God would reveal to us more and more what His plan is, how He plans to use it for His glory. But it's us pulling ourselves out of that natural human vortex of pain and hurt and disillusionment and, you know, all of the things that happen in our lives. It's being able to pull out of that and seeing really almost like, I don't want to say out-of-body experience, but in a way, the spirit man is the out-of-body experience.
Exactly.
Looking in and seeing the glory of God, how he's going to display himself. Like God displayed himself when Stephen was healed, when he was a baby. Like God is going to display himself when Kimmy is healed and all of the people. I mean, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people praying for Kimmy. She goes to Bethel Church in Reading. They're friends with Roma Downey, who is touched by an angel star. She's posted it on her page, so her outreach is huge. So there are a ton of people that are going to see the glory of God in raising Kimmy up. But we have to get ourselves pulled up out of that human tornado vortex thing and say, wait a second, what is God doing here? Lord, help me to have the mind of Christ and the eyes of my Father to be able to see what you're doing in this situation, who you're touching, who you're bringing to you through this very pain that I'm enduring. Who are you bringing to you, Lord? Let me see that person. Let me recognize that what I'm going through isn't just for me, but somebody else. Show me who they are. Show me so I can pray for them even in the middle of my vortex going on. You see what I'm saying? It's like we get so caught up in the me, 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 me that we have a hard time pulling up out of it and seeing all of the people around your little tornado that are like, they're turning and looking at you like, hey, that's a tornado happening over there. Whoa, that's the hand of God. What's happening over there? They wouldn't look if nothing was happening. But because something is happening in your life, they're looking. That's not anything to say, woe is me. Though we do, that's a very normal human reaction. But it's okay to have the human reaction. It's what we do after that point.
Right.
Do we pull ourselves up out of it and look and see how God was glorified? Or do we stay in the middle of that and wallow in our pain and wallow in our sorrow and wallow in the poor is me and don't get our heads up out of it enough to see there are people around you that only your tornado is going to draw them to Jesus. They're not even going to look at my tornado. They don't know me, but they know you. Who's looking at you? Who's watching you? Who's waiting to see God be glorified? Everything that we go through is a ministry, but we get so... And I've been doing it. I mean, I go from one thing to another. I'm just jumping from one thing to another, and it's like... From one trip back up to Yakima to another trip back up to Yakima to one nap over the next nap. I mean, I'm really just hopping and skipping and going on because it's tough. It's tougher than I imagined it would be traveling back and forth. However, I see how God is moving because I am pulling myself up and I'm seeing my family, my grandkids, my children, I'm seeing how God is using this for his glory and how he is not doing it just to have them go through pain. He's doing it so that he'll be glorified. And we have to remember he is so kind and gracious and compassionate. His kindness draws them to the repentance.
Amen.
From our circumstances, how can we begrudge that? I mean, you know, it's hard to pull up out. I get it. But if we can pull up out of that situation to see the hand of God moving, he's blessed even more. His name is glorified even more than if we stayed in the middle of that and went, went. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, 2 Corinthians 4:18 continues to communicate the same thing. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient or temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. So what is it saying here? Walking by faith, not by sight, not by our natural sight. We look and we see the things that are unseen. We choose to see the things that are unseen. In our situation, instead of looking at what the circumstances say, we look at says, Who is God in this? Mm-hmm. What is God doing in this?
What is he doing?
What is his desire and his thoughts towards me in this and towards others? Because the things that are seen, the things that we see with our natural eye, they are temporary. So even as I'm looking at Tim over there, what I'm seeing there in my natural eye with Tim is temporary. But in the unseen is an eternal Tim. In the unseen is a Tim that has the attributes and the characteristics and the nature of God fully working in him. And this Tim that we see in the natural, sorry Tim, I'm picking on you, but that we see in the natural is now being changed from glory to glory with that unseen Tim that is there. And the more that we see the unseen Tim and those attributes in him, the more the Tim in the natural becomes the unseen Tim. All of us, as we see ourselves in the mirror and our attributes and our characteristics and our shortcomings and our failures, if that's what we focus on, then that's what we remain. But if we focus on, no, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave of fear. I'm not going to be tempted beyond what I can handle. I mean, all of these things that God says that are overcoming power that's in us, we focus on that. That's what we then become, because those things that are temporary aren't temporary,
right?
Because they're being seen in the natural. It's what's in the unseen that is in the eternal.
And you know, I believe that goes with why we're here today, why we come today. Because if we're walking by faith and not by sight, I'm going to call those giftings forward from Tim. I'm going to say you are the man of God that God is calling you to be, that you will have a voice, that you will be acknowledged by men that this is a godly man. I see the gifting rising up in him as a leader. I know what's in there. And so I'm by faith, not by sight, I'm calling that up out of him. I want to draw it out of him, because his iron is going to sharpen my iron. His giftings are going to make my giftings even better. His giftings are going to make pastor's giftings even better. But if we're just looking at, well, Tim is so faithful, he comes to church every Sunday. Yeah? So? And? But no, if we look at the Spirit, if we are able to take ourselves out of the natural and look at the Spirit and see that God has called Tim to be a leader, that Tim will have a voice in the future, that people will be coming to God through Tim because of what God is doing in Tim, then we're able to look at that supernatural, spiritual Tim and see that more than we see, oh, Tim comes to church so faithfully every Sunday. We see the more and we acknowledge the more. That's what we're called. That's why we don't forsake assembling together.
Right.
Is to call those giftings out of each other. Not just slap on the back, hey, great to see you again this Sunday. I mean, it's good, but it's to encourage one another, to draw one another up out of the mundane earthly who we are into the supernatural of who we are.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, we talked about this on Wednesday night. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard or we see no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come, or the old things are becoming new. And so that's what we're communicating about Tim. That's what we're communicating about all of you, is that there is a new creation that we are, that is who we should know each other by. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't know each other, oh, well, you know, they work so-and-so place, or, you know, or they have this many kids, or, you know, or they went to school there. We should know, what is God saying about them? Who does God have them? Who is God having them be in the kingdom? And what are those giftings and attributes, like you said, that are meant to bless my life and bless the lives of others? And how can I help speak words of encouragement that will bring that person up to who
exactly
they are going to be?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Did you get the scripture? 2 Corinthians 5:15-17.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you knew, but you needed it,
I kind of saw the.
Where'd that come from? Okay.
It's 15-17.
15-17. Yeah. 5:15-17. And then the final verse in John 11. Go ahead.
But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover."
Makes sense in the natural, doesn't it? He's asleep. He's going to wake up. He's going to recover, Lord. We don't need to go an extra day's journey just to go, you know, be around people that are wanting to stone you again. So what Jesus is saying here, but if anyone, if we follow the last one, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So, but if anyone who walks in the night, he's going to stumble.
Mm-hmm.
Because the light is not around him. No, it's not in him. That's the key. It's not that the light is where we can see in the natural. It's that the light is in us so that we can see the spiritual. We can see what God's doing. We can let his thoughts be our thoughts. We can let his ways be our ways. That scripture in Isaiah applies totally to the carnal man. It does not apply to the spiritual man. What does it say in another place in Corinthians? It says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But we know these things by the Spirit, Paul then goes on to say. So even though in the natural mind we can't know the great things that God has in store for us, even though he loves us, and we can know them by the Spirit.
Right.
We can know by the Spirit who we are, not by our conduct, our behavior, and our shortcomings, our failures. We can know by the Spirit that we are Christ's, and that because he rose from the dead, we've been quickened alive into this life in a new way.
And we can know others and what, see their spiritual, know what they are, because we are a spirit being.
Right.
That's why we can say to whoever, even though you don't see it in yourself, we see the greatness in you. We know what the greatness is in you. We know what God has planted into you, Junior. You knew that was coming. We see that. We know that. But we don't see it in the flesh. We see it in the Spirit.
Right.
And it's what God's already told you by word, by prophetic word. So we know what's in there. We see what's in there. We want to draw that out because the kingdom has need of us. God's kingdom has need of us. And there's nobody that can quite do it like Junior can. And there's nobody that can quite do it like Tim can. Do you see what I'm saying? So then if we don't allow ourselves to be used as God is calling us in the supernatural, then there's a limp that's going on in the body of Christ, because we're not walking in the fullness of who he called us to be. But if we say, no, even though we don't see how that could be us, we say, okay, God, you've already called out those giftings in me. I'm going to walk in that. Even though I'm very uncomfortable, even though this doesn't feel natural or normal, it is not natural and it is not normal. It is supernatural. It is spiritual. That's why it doesn't feel right. Because you are inside, the flesh and the spirit are warring against one another. But walking out in faith, not by sight, walking out in faith, saying, okay, God, you're calling these things forward. I'm going to start walking that way. And when we start walking that way, the body of Christ gets stronger. The glory of God is shown around. People see it.
Amen. Did you have something, Bob? Okay. So, a friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. We he's fallen asleep, he'll recover, Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the natural, that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. And why is Jesus saying that he has fallen asleep?
Because he already knows what's going to happen.
Because he already knows what happens, yep. And because to Jesus, death is not what we think death is.
Death is not a finality to Jesus.
Death is not a finality. All right. So if you're ever dealing with 2 days more, just know that God's thoughts might be different than yours. Okay. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to rely, Lord, just on our natural minds and our natural thoughts and our own understanding. But in all our ways, Lord, if we acknowledge you, Lord, you can direct our steps. You can guide us. You can be the light of life in our life, Lord, so that we don't have to walk in darkness or go through a situation in total despair and anguish because of what we're seeing with our natural eyes, Lord. But know that you have our very best in mind. You have our hearts, Lord, and that you will take even what the enemy turns and makes to evil, you'll turn it to good, Lord. You'll make the enemy's attack on us, Lord, go in reverse, Lord, and cause us to rise up into a new level in you. And we thank you for that. Thank you, God, that you are at work in all of our lives right now. Even though we can't see it, even though we may not be able to recognize it, we know by faith, Lord, that you're working in our lives. Lord, it says that it's you that are at work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. So we're grateful, we're honored to be your children, we're thankful to be in the kingdom of God. And as Gay said, Lord, let us all rise up to be who we're meant to be in the kingdom as you have need of us in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah, our God reigns, right? Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm going to hug you first.